Okay, now I'd like to ask Dr. Flavio Rosendi to come here and present your technique for drainage of choroidal hemorrhage.
As you noticed, the President already exerts her authority and changed the program in the last week. I told you, on Alexa, first,
thank you very much, Dr. Brunier. For those who didn't have a chance to talk yet with me, I did my ophthalmic pathology training back in 2000. I did specifically vitreoretinal pathology. I went to do my vitreoretinal surgery fellowship at McGill. And so I think I'm a little bit diverged from most of the lectures today. It's a great honor to be here today. I cannot express my happiness of meeting many of you back today. It's been a year that I'm here in Montreal at the University of Montreal, and besides everything that I learned in the lab with Dr. Brunier, he taught me also to perceive if there's something that's not going the right direction, you go somewhere else, and if you are capable and you trained yourself, you get there. Thank you very much. So a little story about how we developed this surgical technique for drainage of choroidal detachments. Back in 2002, when the new generation of vitrectomy surgery was introduced, what it was then called 25-gauge transconjunctival vitrectomy. Probably even Dr. Brunier doesn't know about it, but here at McGill, we were the first fellowship program that started the technique in Canada. So we, since then, we developed a lot of comfort with this technique, which is much harder than the standard 20-gauge technique. So in 2005, we started, we had a few patients that were being treated by glaucoma specialists that were developing choroidal detachments post-operative, which is a complication that may happen after either TRABS or shunts. And they were always complaining that our technique was damaging too much the conjunctiva and that the surgery was failing. So being comfortable at the time of the transconjunctival vitrectomy surgery, we said, well, why don't we stick the cannulas on the suprachoroidal space and see if this works out? We did one case that we presented at the American Society of Retina Specialists meeting in 2007 as a poster. Not much was said then. They said, whoa, this is crazy. This is very dangerous. Yeah. 1 year later, another group from the United States did a film about the same technique, and they won a prize on the exact same meeting one year later. So I said, well, good. This is probably there's something there. So then we did not only serous choroidal drainage, but hemorrhagic choroidal drainage as well. Transconjunctiva not touching the conjunctiva at all, not opening, only placing the little cannulas that I'm going to show you guys. What are they like? Different gauges. They come in 20, 23, 25 gauge. And then we presented last year at the same meeting at the American Society of Retina Specialists in New York, and we presented a series of serous and hemorrhagic choroidal detachment. And this the beginning of the year, an Italian group presented published a similar technique, but they did associated vitrectomy. And I'm going to show you guys our video and see and show why this technique presented by the Italian group, it's a bit dangerous. So, of course, we don't drain all the choroidal detachments. Most of them are managed medically with steroids and mydriatics. About 11% of TRABs may have some kind of choroidal detachments, but the indications are mostly when the vision is low due to hypotony and or collapsed anterior chamber or appositional detachment. So you saw a standard technique where we open the conch to drain the hemorrhagic detachments. So we tested to see if the little cannulas that we enter on the pars plana into the vitreous cavity if we were able to drain simply with an anterior chamber infusion line. It made sense to the mechanical standpoint that we were pushing liquid into the vitreous cavity and just placing the cannula on the suprachoroidal space. The choroid is far from the sclera, so it seemed to make sense. So this was our first case at that time. We were entering 7 millimeters from the limbus. We were placing the little cannulas. It's very awkward to enter inside the eye when the choroid, it's not against the sclera, so it's not very easy on the first cases to accomplish that. But after many cases, and this is it's hard to be done by the glaucoma specialist, because you have to be able to place the cannula, to be acquainted with the technique of placing the cannula. So this, it looks like a BSS, it looks like it's coming from the vitreous cavity, but it's actually from the suprachoroidal space. So we did, on this particular case, you don't have to enter inside the eye, you can do indirect ophthalmoscopy, but we entered, since it was the first case, we were afraid that the liquid was coming from the vitreous cavity, so we showed that the part that we were the choroid had already attached, so we drained in another quadrant, and this quadrant was a serohemorrhagic choroidal detachment, and it also flattened the other quadrant, and we drained on another quadrant as well. And then after we did the vitrectomy, because there was a lot of vitreous opacity, this was the only eye of the patient, and he did very well. On the second case here that I'm going to present, it was different than the first case, because this the anterior chamber was totally collapsed. So there's a different cannula, that's a sharp cannula that you can place in the anterior chamber. The other one was a regular 25-gauge cannula. It's very hard to put inside the anterior chamber when the chamber is collapsed. So again, going 7 millimeters from the limbus, this was already, this was the second case actually on our series. So it was a bit more comfortable to place the cannula in the suprachoroidal space, but still you see that the sclera kind of folds, so you have to enter very tangential to the sclera plane, and with the infusion line about 40 millimeters of mercury, and the choroidal detachment drains only through a 25-gauge cannula, and that's about it. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes, the case. You do not have, as in this case, you do not have to do a vitrectomy for that. And then we went further, and we tried to drain a hemorrhagic choroidal detachment. So for the hemorrhagic choroidal detachment, it made sense to me that this was actually an explosive choroidal detachment during cataract surgery. So you see the patient was left aphakic. He had a retinal incarceration on the wounds, as you can see there, the retina is totally scarred on what we thought was scarred on the posterior surface of the iris. So we went with, this is it's a different Joker system. It's a 20-gauge Joker system. So we wanted to increase the gauge of the cannula so the hemorrhage wouldn't block the cannula. So it also For those who are aware, this type of complication, this is a very severe complication. It's not an easy procedure to do it. And as right after the drainer, you see that the retina was already reattached to the choroid. So this is a pre and post-op image. And the patient also did very well. For those who doesn't know, yeah, haven't met him, he's 4 years old now, and he has a São Paulo shirt. Thank you very much. Backstage information. My son really likes red and black. In Rio, there's no choice, so I bought him a São Paulo shirt, not a Flamengo shirt.
Good decision. Good parents.